lightning among the papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, and we're live with you on this 13th day of January, 2006. It is a Friday, folks. And we've got Bob Barr coming up here, I do believe. We don't have him? Well, that's not nice. Do they know where he's at? I'm talking to my producer right now, folks. He just came out of a meeting. We'll plop him down on the phone and get him on here. Okay, he just walked out of a meeting. He should be with us in a few minutes. At any rate, well, folks, you're hearing the rhetoric once again coming out of the Bush regime, the neocon riddled White House, that there's a possibility that, there's nuclear saber-rattling going on as far as Iran. Same thing that they did with Iraq. The sanctions are being recommended. And, you know, this is in an open and honest debate. If the American people knew, for defensive purposes, that Iran wanted to have a couple of nuclear weapons just hanging around in case Israel decided to lob one of their 400 nukes at them, that they at least inflict a little damage on Israel. But you're never going to get that debate. You're never going to get that honest debate until such time. We were talking about this yesterday. In order for this to come out in mainstream America, it would have to be almost button-pushing time, launch the nuclear birds, because everybody gets real wound up and everybody starts chattering like a little Kathy doll, at that point in time. But if somebody is going to tell me that the United States would be better off without any nuclear weapons when many countries around the world would have them, what do you think the response from Congress would be? Even the most peace loving of the people on Capitol Hill, one of the peaceniks wouldn't even go along with that, to leave yourself wide open for attack. So here we go, folks. Here's the roadmap, the neocon roadmap for peace in Israel right now. And if you think about this issue, what better way to have two enemies fight it out amongst themselves? You start to fight, and then you sit back, and then you watch. Literally, what's going on in Israel, let's see how we can get a billion Christians to fight a billion Muslims. And that'll keep us Jewish people out of the fray. And we'll just pick up what pieces are left over, and we'll be able to deal with it because we've expended no money. We've expended no troops, no personnel, no materials, no nothing. And after all, we still have our 400 nuclear weapons, so I think we'll be able to deal with any aftermath or any negative results out of this. Folks, that's exactly what's going on. Do we have Mr. Barr yet? We don't. Okay, well, I guess we'll take the break, and we'll come back, and we'll see if Mr. Barr is going to join us. All right, we'll do that in a few minutes. We'll be right back, folks.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stachmiller.
We're waiting for Mr. Barr to find his way to a telephone. In the meantime, this was an exchange, a clip that I do believe that was on CNN. And if you would, Mr. Producer, go ahead and roll that clip.
Americans spying on Americans. In a story first reported today by the New York Times and confirmed by our own sources here at CNN, President Bush is said to have authorized the super secret National Security Agency to conduct electronic eavesdropping here at home. The president is saying only that he won't discuss ongoing intelligence operations. Joining us now are two conservative Republicans who have very different views on this issue. From Atlanta, the former congressman and CNN contributor Bob Barr, and from Capitol Hill, California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. Congressman Barr, what's wrong with what the president has decided to do?
Well, what's wrong with it is severalfold. One is bad policy for our government to be spying on American citizens through the National Security Agency. Secondly, it's bad to be spying on Americans without court oversight. And thirdly, it's bad to be spying on Americans apparently in violation of federal laws against doing it without court orders. So it's bad all around, and we need to get to the bottom of this.
Do you agree, Congressman Rohrabacher? I suspect you don't.
What's really bad is the fact that we have an evil opponent who wants to blow us up, and that 6 months after 3,000 of our American citizens were slaughtered right in front of our eyes, that we were confronted with this challenge. I'm really sorry that we have this kind of evil enemy that wants to slaughter us, but I'm very happy that we have a president that 6 months after they slaughtered 3,000 of our citizens, he decided to follow up on a lead that was given to our people by breaking up an Al-Qaeda cell in Pakistan and followed through on that to make sure that there wasn't another imminent attack and thus probably saving many thousands of American lives. We can be proud of President Bush for protecting us.
So, Congressman Barr, what do you say?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the Constitution is the Constitution, and I took an oath to abide by it. My good friend, my former colleague, Dana Rohrabacher, did, and the President did. And I don't really care very much whether or not it can be justified based on some hypothetical. The fact of the matter is that if you have any government official who deliberately orders that federal law be violated despite the best of motives, that certainly ought to be of concern to us.
9/11 is not a hypothetical. That
no, but the hypothetical is the other cases you were talking about.
Now that we are at war, that is not hypothetical. We have an enemy that has decided that they are going to terrorize the American population by committing mass murder. That is not hypothetical. We are at war, and
now,
sometimes at war. What
you were saying, Dana, is that there were other cases. Those are hypothetical.
No, that's not, Bob. Bob, you haven't read this. No, that's not hypothetical at all. One of the cases that was involved in this was someone who was attempting to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge, and because of these wiretaps,
we were able to stop that. You're wrong there.
How do we know who wasn't deterred from blowing up other targets?
Well, I guess then the president should be able to ignore whatever provision in the Constitution, as long as there's something after the fact to justify it.
Bob, during wartime, you give some powers to the presidency you wouldn't give in peacetime.
Do we have a declaration of war, Dana?
You don't have to do that.
That makes it even much easier for a president.
You just have to make sure that the people of the United States understand that we are at war. Well, they understand that Al-Qaeda slaughtered 3,000 of our citizens, more people than the Japanese slaughtered at Pearl Harbor.
Let me interject for a second, Congressman Rohrabacher.
Sure.
Everything you say is true, but why not go through the process of either getting new legislation authorizing this or let the court orders be fully implemented? In other words, before the NSA goes and eavesdrops on Americans, get a court order.
First of all, let us note that all this eavesdropping on Americans were that there were some people living in the United States, whether they're American citizens or not, we don't know how many are American citizens, that were involved with contacts overseas. This is eavesdropping on people who are doing international calls, and the list that we got came from what? Came from an Al-Qaeda cell that we broke up in Pakistan. I am very pleased that our president didn't wait around, but instead ran right forward immediately to try to follow up on this and find out what they were planning. I believe he probably thwarted several major attacks by doing that.
Congressman Barr, you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, here again, this is absolutely a bizarre conversation where you have a member of Congress saying that it's okay for the President of the United States to ignore U.S. law, to ignore the Constitution, simply because we are in an undeclared war. The fact of the matter is the law specifically prohibits what apparently was done in this case, and for a member of Congress to say, oh, that doesn't matter, I'm proud that the President violated the law, is absolutely astounding, Wolf.
We can be grateful to this president. You know, I'll have to tell you, if it's up to Mr. Schumer, Senator Schumer, they probably would have blown up the Brooklyn Bridge. The bottom line is this. In wartime, we expect our leaders, yes, to exercise more authority. Now, I have led the fight to making sure there were sunset provisions in the Patriot Act, for example. So after the war, we go back to recognizing the limits of government. But we want to put the full authority that we have and our technology to use immediately to try to thwart terrorists who are going to
and the Constitution be damned, Dana.
Well, I'll tell you something. If a nuclear weapon goes off in Washington, D.C. or New York or Los Angeles, it'll burn the Constitution as it does. So I'm very happy we have a president that's going to wiretap people's communication with people overseas to make sure that they're not plotting to blow up one of our cities.
We're out of time, but Bob Barr, I'll give you the last word.
Well, first of all, or last of all, this so-called plot to blow up Brooklyn Bridge was bogus because it had to do with a group of idiots who were planning to dismantle it with blowtorches.
That will have to be the last word, and we're going to continue this discussion down the road. Dana Rohrabacher, Congressman, thanks very much for joining us. Congressman Bob Barr, thanks to you as well. An important American spying on America.
All right, folks, we are back. What you just heard was the Dana Rohrabacher squaring off with Bob Barr on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. And I hope you caught this, because Rohrabacher is pushing for, you know, more freedom for the president to do whatever under time of war. Mr. Barr brought up that, wait a minute, you know, what constitutionally declared war are we talking about? But if you listen to George Bush, it's his 100-year war on terrorism. So I don't think they're planning on relaxing anything, because we're going to be on a war footing for some time to come. After all, it's the new war, the war on terrorism. And I understand we have Mr. Bob Barr with us. Mr. Barr, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you very much. I know you're a busy guy. You just got out of a meeting, and I appreciate you spending the time with us this afternoon. Your position here on the presidential snooping, the NSA, the National Security Agency, wiretapping without FISA approval here, going through the courts. Your position on that, Bob?
It's very problematic. It's of great concern to me. Whenever you have a government official, whether it's the president or a mid-level bureaucrat, asserting what appears on the surface certainly to be the right to ignore or circumvent explicit federal statute, federal law, that is always of great concern to me. And I'm very concerned with what appears to be a violation of the federal laws on electronic surveillance.
Well, and we have precedent on this. We had J. Edgar Hoover, Nixon and Hoover were going at it for a while back in the 60s and the 70s. We had the FBI here. They created files on more than 1 million Americans and carried out over 500,000 investigations on people that were deemed subversives. And, well, we understand that free speech is protected under the Constitution, under the First Amendment. Now, the argument has gone back and forth that, well, we can't be too critical of the president in wartime, but we're also talking about a war that a lot of people haven't bought into, and the more information they're getting. I mean, even Bush himself the other day at a veterans speech went on the offensive. He's been doing this since last November, but now he's coming closer to it. He said, look, we're not over there for oil or anything else. We're over there to preserve democracy or to create democracy in Iraq. But now things are starting to heat up. It looks like Iran is the next target. And Mr. Barr, I don't know if you ever read the Project for New American Century. I mean, they had these plans drawn up in 95, 96 for this full implementation in the Middle East right now. And what I see on the horizon, if we think this is bad now, and if we think we're under a terroristic threat now, let's pit a billion Christians against 1 billion Muslims, and then let's see what happens.
Well, I mean, creating and seeing democracy take root and flourish in other countries is great, and I'm all for that. But what is of much more importance to me and of far greater concern to me than whether people in some foreign land are able to vote is whether or not we are preserving or diminishing freedom here in this country. That's my concern. And I don't... What concerns me so greatly right now is that it seems to be, we seem to have people in government saying that, you know, whatever we believe is necessary to protect the country is okay. And if that means giving up or taking away a certain amount of our liberties here in this country, then that's okay, as long as we are doing it in the name of fighting against acts of terrorism. That concerns me greatly. So I'm all for people in Iraq or some other country being able to vote, and seeing girls go to school in Afghanistan or Iraq. That's great. I'm happy for them. But what concerns me much more than that is, are we seeing a loss of our freedoms and our liberty here in this country?
Well, I remember, and I know you remember this also, if you hearken back here, we even saw TV ads. Remember that was the Archie Bunker Street that had no American flags, scene change, everybody has American flags flying in front of their houses, and the basic message of the commercial was this, that we can't let the terrorists, you know, they hate us because of our freedom. So what is the White House doing right now? They're busy shredding the Constitution. And it was also reported by Capitol Hill Blue. And I know a lot of politicians up on the Hill read that magazine because this guy turns up quite a bit of scuttlebutt. A couple of weeks ago, we had George Bush, and he was enmeshed in this issue here of the wiretapping issue. And he said this. He says, look, he said the Constitution is just a GD piece of paper. Now here, Mr. Barr, you had to raise your hand when you became a congressman. You were in Congress from what, 96 to 2002?
95 to 2003.
2003. You had to raise your right hand in affirmation, a public affirmation to protect and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. We understand that. But to have this man, this kind of rhetoric, that the Constitution is just a piece of paper, this is not sitting well. I'm looking at recent polls here, and if we can believe...
Well, I certainly am concerned with our Constitution. I don't know whether the president said that or not. I would certainly hope that that he didn't. But whenever I look at our Bill of Rights... including the Fourth Amendment, which is the essential guarantee of privacy in this country, and I see the government either taking or claiming that it has power to invade law-abiding citizens' privacy for no reason, that concerns me. And that's what I and many others have been fighting so strongly for the last 3 years, for example, to see that there are some modest amendments made to the Patriot Act to bring it back into balance, and why it concerns us so greatly that the federal laws that set forth the terms under which the government can conduct electronic surveillance of American citizens in this country appear to be being violated. That's why these things are of such great concern to us, because these represent our fundamental right to be left alone, which is the essence of privacy, which is the foundation of civilization.
Well, and like I said, we had precedents with this before between J. Edgar Hoover and Richard Nixon. And if I remember, let me see, that was winding down on the Vietnam War, which is not a war. It was a police action, not officially sanctioned or declared war. But we had the FBI out there doing this anyhow to American citizens. And this was before, really, computers and modern-day technology. I had a 5x7 card over there at the FBI myself because I was protesting the Vietnam War, even though that I joined the service. My draft number came up, and I wasn't going to run to Canada, so I joined for an extra year. But that aside, we've got a problem here, and do you see anybody on Capitol Hill taking this president on this issue?
You're absolutely correct. We've fought these battles before, and it's just as important, if not more important today than it was in the 1960s to fight these battles because, for one reason, as you've correctly identified, the advent of modern technology makes it much easier for the government to obtain information, disseminate information, and data mine information than in the 1960s, and it makes it, conversely, much more problematic for individual citizens when the government does this. It's quite one thing to be concerned about the government accumulating or having a paper file or dossier on you. It's very different and much more dangerous when the government compiles an electronic file on you that can be disseminated instantaneously anywhere in the world and data mined by any number of organizations. So it's even more important that we protect these privacy interests against government intrusion now than it was in the 60s when we fought it. There are some individuals on Capitol Hill willing to stand for the Constitution and withstand political pressure, including from their own party. People like Arlen Specter, who has indicated that he will, despite pressure not to do so by the administration, will hold hearings on the NSA spying, although I'm glad to see that the Attorney General has agreed to that he will appear as a witness, and I hope that these hearings are held very promptly and are very extensive.
But are they going to, I mean, Arlen Specter, he's a judiciary chairman, but on this type of issue, this is going to be behind the doors meeting. This is not going to be open for the public, is it?
It will be. At least that's the indication thus far that they, and I hope that they do hold these hearings to the greatest extent possible in the open, on the record. There may be certainly some aspects of the NSA spying that require closed doors because they may get into specifics of the, how they were carried out and the individuals, and certainly that ought to remain closed and classified. But when you're talking about the interpretation of the Constitution, when you're talking about the wording and the interpretation of federal laws, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why that those hearings ought to be held in secret. There are others, to get back to your earlier question, there are a handful of members of the Senate, the Republicans, who have stood tall and stood firm, who bucked the administration and bucked the Republican leadership in the Senate to vote against a flawed version of the Patriot Act reauthorization coming to the floor last month. People like John Sununu of New Hampshire, Chuck Hagel, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Larry Craig of Idaho. I mean, these Republicans stood up and continue to have to stand up to a lot of pressure from the administration, a lot of criticism, but they have said we're willing to do that because we believe that the Patriot Act needs to be changed. There needs to be some modest amendments to it to bring it back in line with the Constitution.
Well, and that was my next question. Is there ever going to be, and we got a lot of strict constitutionalists that listen to this network that understand probably better the Constitution and its founders' meaning than a lot of people on Capitol Hill right now. Do you see, can you foresee an equitable balance between this and the Constitution? Can that ever be?
Certainly it can be, and our founding fathers found that balance. I mean, our founding fathers faced dangers far greater than we face today. We have a tendency, a lot of people in this country, to think that the immediate danger we face is of a nature and a magnitude that we've never faced before in this country, and therefore we have to take extraordinary measures. I don't buy into that. Are there dangers that we face today from terrorists and terrorist cells? Certainly. But are they of a magnitude that makes the protections in the Bill of Rights outdated? Absolutely not. Our founding fathers faced the annihilation of this country by the greatest military and political force and economic force in the world in their day. That is the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Yet in the face of that challenge, they said there must be limitations on government intrusion into citizens' personal lives and their privacy, and these are the things the government must do before it can invade a person's privacy. That's the balance. And when we look, for example, at current federal laws that relate to electronic surveillance, they give the government tremendous leeway, tremendous flexibility, and tremendous power. It is not necessary to protect this nation. It's not necessary to violate that law, to circumvent it, to go around it. The laws on electronic surveillance provide tremendous flexibility for any administration. They provide clear authority for an administration to immediately conduct electronic surveillance if it believes it has to. It simply then has to, within a few days, go back to the court and make sure that its actions were justified.
Well, and on the issue of justification, we played that Rohrabacher, facing off against Dana Rohrabacher on CNN. Wolf Blitzer was the moderator. And after hearing that, it was about a six-minute interview. After hearing this, the thought occurred to me, how much is absolute hype that's being put out there that we are under immediate attack? We have this great threat, so therefore we must give the president this latitude because we're in real trouble. We got Rohrabacher out there with the Brooklyn Bridge story, and you revealed that these couple of guys, a couple of yahoos, were going to destroy the Brooklyn Bridge by some cutting torches.
Well, it is sort of almost comical, but the example that the administration keeps throwing up as the justification for apparently for ignoring the federal law on electronic surveillance and the great success of it is this notion that they thwarted an effort to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. That was not the case. The people that were convicted, they were caught and convicted, were apparently some kooks because their apparent plan was to blow up the bridge with acetylene torches or dismantle it with hacksaws or some nonsense. And, you know, while I suppose if they were able to work at it long enough over the course of several hundred years, they could do that. But to use that as an example of why and how and to justify violation of a federal law, to me, mocks the Constitution.
Well, and we have another tie-in here to the Nixon era versus George Bush. The Supreme Court ruled on this, according to your article to Time magazine, that the Supreme Court slapped down Nixon when he made the statement, "I'm commander-in-chief and I'm responsible for the security of this country. The people expect me to do it, and I'm going to do it." Well, this is almost verbatim what George Bush had to say, but the Supreme Court stepped in and said, look, you don't have that kind of latitude, no matter what the threat to this country is. So this point is well taken, and that's why I was real interested to see, and have you been speaking directly to people on the Hill as to what their real feelings are about this and how much they're going to push against this?
I have been and will continue to do so, and I think that there is a feeling by a sufficient number of U.S. senators, the House, I'm not sure, they seem consumed with other issues right now, but on the Senate side, there does seem to be a sufficient number of senators who believe that this does raise very serious questions, that there will be substantive hearings. One would hope that on an issue like this, that there would be unanimous agreement in the Senate that at a minimum, the NSA spying raises very serious questions and we need to get to the bottom of it by having, hearings. But, you know, many senators, for partisan reasons either are willing to just accept at face value what, the administration is saying. Others, sort of go off on a partisan tangent on the other side, and what gets lost is a real substantive debate here. But I do think that there are, and I sense from talking with people on the Hill, that there are a sufficient number of senators who have looked at this issue of NSA spying, the same as those that looked at the issue of Patriot Act balance, and will press for good, solid, substantive hearings. We, at a bare minimum, we need that.
Well, and substantive, and the result of it. I mean, everybody got everybody on the Hill seemed to be real happy because they were slapping the FBI's hands because they didn't. The FBI thought it was okay to go in and look at people's reading materials and whatever else. Well, okay, we stopped the FBI from doing that. The Patriot Act legitimized what the FBI had been doing for a number of years. They were doing that anyhow. So,
right.
I don't want people out there to think that, well, you know, we're going to have a showdown here in Congress and we're going to protect people's liberties out there because they're going for the gusto here. And in my estimation, Mr. Barr, they've gone way overboard on this Patriot Act 1 and 2 to begin with. We had many instances that they were using this for just regular police routine police investigations and police matters that the police across the country are getting carte blanche here and being able to share this wonderful information. Well, tying the FBI or the military intelligence or the military with the police across this country, that slaps in the face of posse comitatus, which is an outstanding idea. Let's keep the military separate from policing here in America, but they're blurring all of these lines. We're in serious trouble.
Well, I agree, and I've got to run here, but I'm glad you mentioned as a final thought there, so that people don't forget it, the whole issue of posse comitatus, because that's something that we ought to spend a great deal of time on in the future. the whole issue of the military, our Department of Defense and our armed services, armed forces getting involved in domestic spying and domestic data mining on U.S. citizens, following U.S. citizens around. This raises very serious questions about the very nature of our society here in this country. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that really does need to be focused on.
All right, we'll let you go here, but I would like to have you back on this program where we can actually spend some more time and then we can entertain some calls. People just are dying to talk to you. Let me remind folks, if you're down there in the Atlanta area, that Mr. Bob Maher does a program on WGKA 920 AM in Atlanta. And coming up on January 15th, he's going to have Congressman Ron Paul and Dr. Stephen Halbrook on. And on PBS, his appearance, that's going to be 8 p.m. on the 13th. And on Court TV, Catherine Cryer on the 17th. And that's going to be at 5:30 p.m. And I'm assuming that's Eastern Standard Time.
That is correct. And if I could just get one other thought in, I'll be attending a conference with the United Nations the week of the 16th of January to keep our eye on the United Nations efforts to diminish our Second Amendment rights in this country. So, this battle in support of our Constitution, in support of our sovereignty and our rights in this country is many, many faceted. And I do look forward to discussing these and other topics with you in the future. And thank you for letting me be with you today.
Okay, well, Bob, it's what time? It's dinner time on the East Coast. All right, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
My pleasure. You all take care.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bob Maher, when he said UN, boy, my ears perked up, and I thought, UN, huh? Well, that's good, because, folks, you never see this on the media. Every once in a while, in an old movie that they haven't gone in and edited, what's out in front of the United Nations, that's right, looks like a Smith & Wesson 38-6 shooter with a nice little tied bow there of the barrel of the gun, yeah. So at any rate, yeah, we got to get him back. We got to get him back for an hour and take calls, because when you have the guy on, you only have him on for 15, 20 minutes. I mean, we skipped the breaks here in order to squeeze him in. He was late coming out of a meeting. But this is, folks, this is heating up. And I think this is our opportunity to really tell Congress, the senators and congressmen alike, how the American people really feel about their Patriot Act. I mean, and if you think about this, and Bob didn't address this point, man, I'll get him on this one the next time. If you take a look at what's going on, it's the Saddam Hussein. We had to go after Afghanistan. We had to go after Iraq. Well, we had to do that. Well, finally we got down to the point, well, Saddam Hussein wasn't very nice to his people. He was a dictator. Absolutely no threat to the United States whatsoever, okay? None whatsoever. Maybe to Israel, perceptually, maybe to Israel, but even to Israel, no threat whatsoever. And this is heading into even more dangerous territory now. The Project for a New American Century, fine folks, I can't wait till Billy Crystal comes out and weighs in on this one, because they're gearing up to go into Iran next. They're talking about targeting, doing flyovers, sanctions, you name it. But they're going after Iran next. Now, folks, as I stated at the top of the hour, if you take a look at this situation, who is the people that are going to just remain hands off on this deal and let two sides fight it out? Now, when you break this thing down, there's roughly a billion Christians on the face of this planet and roughly about a billion Muslims. Well, the Jews don't like the Christians, and they sure don't like the Muslims. So let's get these two sides fighting each other, and we can sit back. And I'll say this again. I don't care if Iran gets nuclear weapons, because this is the one thing that you will never hear discussed, even in passing, with no further comment or questioning by the mainstream media, is this. What threat, if Iran had a couple of nuclear weapons, what threat does that really pose to Israel, unless Iran decided that they don't want to be around in the human race anymore and they don't want their country to exist anymore? Because if they were to threaten Israel with a nuclear attack, or say even launch a nuclear attack against Israel, what do you think that would happen to Iran? It would be turned into a sheet of glass. That's what happens when you apply intense heat to sand. You get glass. They have 400 nuclear weapons, but you'll never, ever, ever hear this on mainstream media. You'll never hear it. Vanunu, this guy went to jail for how many years? Didn't Greg Szymanski have Vanunu on not too long ago? I think that he did. Here's a guy that they went after. Why? Because he was giving away nuclear secrets. No, he wasn't. What he was doing was telling the entire world what Israel was up to, stockpiling nuclear weapons. And I'll reassert my position on this one. You know, as bad as a nuclear weapon is once detonated, causes a lot of damage. As bad as that has been the deterrent against a world war, folks. We finally come up with bombs that once we start loosing them on each other, there's no winners. Nothing is left. So this is actually what has prevented another world war, a conventional-style war, because toward the end of the war, we all know our history. What did we do to Hiroshima and Nagasaki? That's right. We blew them off the face of the map. The issue and the threat here is not the weapons. It's the people that possess the weapons. And we're being told that the Iranians, well, they're just as crazy and power-mad as Saddam Hussein was. Oh, that's right. That's right. Saddam Hussein, if I listen to this endless drone, this conditioning and propaganda going on by the mainstream medias, they actually got 70% of the American people to believe that Saddam Hussein was somehow tied up with the Twin Tower fiasco here in 2001. Saddam Hussein did not attack us. Neither did Iran. But you take a look at what we're doing. And I'm telling you, folks, they're trying to start a World War III. And they're trying to pit the Christians against the Muslims, and the Jews have no use for either one. Let me go to the phones. John in New York. Hello, John.
Hi. Just wanted to cover bases. You turned the radio on, and I heard the guy talking about 9/11 being a hoax, or not a hoax, but, you know, that's the reason we're in Iraq, and geez, I just had to blow up about it. At the same time, just to let you know, I got an audit from New York State income tax. I owed $18,000. I had to call them up today. And they're unaware that the 41 people they had killed in the 9/11 building were aware of it, of being a hoax. And so I sent my information in with a pile of 9/11 information.
No, they ain't going to get you off the hook for the bill that they say that you owe them.
Well, being on the hook for the bill is I use my retirement up, and I'm still fighting this lawsuit that's a hoax. And, you know, I pointed out, like, my 96% interest rate on my credit card is a crime for even a criminal. And so anyhow, I got these battles that I'm fighting, but it was just kind of interesting that they were totally unaware that that was a, you know, a non-terrorist attack. But the other gentleman that was speaking, was that, are you speaking of Rutabaga out of California?
Dana Rohrabacher.
Rohrabacher.
Yeah, he was up there stumping for Bush.
Okay. Where's he represented from?
California.
Geez, you know, are we misinterpreting? I'm saying Rohrabacher out of California. He was on the C-SPAN back in the first week of April, May 2004, saying that he had called in with Julie Sears, a CIA agent, telling Condoleezza Rice that 9/11 was going to happen. That
no, I think we're talking. I think we're talking about two different people here.
Okay, that's my question.
Yeah.
Very good, then. Well,
all right.
Appreciate your time. Thanks,
okay,
John.
Thanks, John. I appreciate your call. Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Oh, John.
Hi.
One thing I want to point out is during the clip you played on CNN between Congressman Barr and Mr. Rohrabacher, when Congressman Barr said, oh, yeah, and what constitutionally declared war are we in?
Right.
And then Rohrabacher replies, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The people of America understand we're at war. He has no concern for the Constitution. We haven't constitutionally declared a war. Well, that doesn't matter. Then furthermore, John, giving rise to all of this, well, we're under this threat of terrorism. We've got to allow more latitude to this criminal thug in the White House to protect us in these times of trouble. We haven't had a substantive hearing, not one, on what happened on 9/11/01.
Exactly.
We don't even know what happened on 9/11/01.
Well, we know what didn't happen.
And I've read the Constitution, and one thing that has always bugged me about that Constitution, and Barr highlighted it in your interview with him, is if we're to have hearings, and are they going to be in secret? You know,
I heard. Look,
I forget exactly which article. I'm almost totally blind, John, and I'm slow reading, so I didn't have time to look it up. But in one of the particular provisions regarding the setup of the representatives, the House and the Senate, it allows for them to have their hearings in secret. And
this is what I've heard already, that Arlen Specter is going to come out and he's demanding hearings, but what I'm hearing, this is going to be behind closed doors.
Well, then that's not a substantive hearing.
To them it is, because who this is affecting is not the Congress critters. This is affecting you and me.
It's affecting you and me, and to me that is not a substantive hearing.
I wouldn't think so.
When you have a dog and pony show commission, and you conceal in secrecy the testimony of people like Sybil Edmonds, and I imagine there are others, while at the same time you put on your just a couple of weeks dog and pony show for the public and parade idiots like Condoleezza Rice and Madeleine Halfbright and Richard Clark and all these other yahoos to come onto the TV and give their little dog and pony show with how surprised this was to them. Yeah, what we saw on TV was just a dog and pony show. The essence of what really went on was in secret.
Well, and
we'll never know what happened.
Well, if you noticed, and Mr. Barr kind of sidestepped this issue, and I want him on longer because I want to engage him, I don't want the politically expedient or rah-rah statements here. When I said to him that, look, that Bush's 100-year war on terrorism, this is just a first start. This is a preemptive power that he assumed, and then Congress let him have. That the next person that steps out of line, we don't need any approval. The public, we don't care what they think. We're just going to go do what's in the interest of the United States government, not necessarily its people. And he kind of sidestepped this issue. And I'm going to make a mental note of this, and I'm going to pursue this the next time I have him on the air, because this is a declared war on terrorism. This is just the mechanizations that we're going through right now. But terrorism, George Bush said it. It's going to take 100 years. So what are we going to have? And this is my concern. Bush is going to go bye-bye here unless something happens and he remains in power. God forbid. But the next president is going to come in, and they're just going to pick up where the precedent has been set. And this is very, very dangerous. This whole terrorism thing is bogus to begin with. It might have started out bogus, but that they keep up doing what they're doing, I do not blame Muslims or whomever for retaliating against the United States, because look at what we have been doing.
Not only to others across the planet, but to our own people.
I'm telling you.
And meetings in secret, hearings in secret are not substantive hearings at all. And meetings and hearings in secret and hiding behind the banners of national security and our commander-in-chief during times of war, well, that's the cloak of the tyranny that's going to kill this nation.
You got it right. Hey, thanks for your call, Dan. I appreciate it. Some salient points there. Mike in Louisiana. Hello, Mike.
Yes, sir. I just, hearing the first clip while you're waiting for Mr. Barr to make it on the show, of his engagement on, CNN or one of those Wolf Blitzer shows.
Yeah, yeah.
The response towards the end was of the guy who was, basically arguing with your guest. He at the end, he said something that was terribly frightening, that if a nuclear bomb went off in one of the major cities, you can throw the Constitution away.
That's
something
right.
To that effect.
That's right.
I mean, to even blurt that out as a mistake, even if it was a mistake, that's scary.
Well, and what most people, I mean, this is radio. I call it television without pictures. You know, we have the sound. But Rohrabacher, toward the end of that interview, I mean, he was getting real, real nervous because, number one, he wasn't very well scripted in his responses. And what he did say was very, very telling. I'm glad you picked up on that because, you know, that was scary.
Yeah, when you get a guy like that shooting from the hip, the reality, what is deep down, what he, the things that he knows that he, like you're saying, is not scripted, it comes out.
Yeah, and then you know, that's why I enjoyed, who's the guy here that went to prison? Jim Trafficking. That's, and I said, and I've never even interviewed Bob Barr while he was in Congress. The only seated congressman or politician from Washington, D.C. I ever interviewed was Jim Trafficking. Why? Because this was my position. If we had 435 Congress critters in the Congress and add another 100 there in the Senate, if we had people shooting from the hip, the American people would get a clue as to what was really going on.
Sure.
If they're not carefully coiffured and manicured and scripted and teleprompted, we might get a glimpse here and there of what's really going on. And in my estimation, Rohrabacher didn't do Bush any good during that. And if I were Bob Barr, I certainly would have nailed him a little bit harder, but he's also a correspondent for CNN, so he's not going to muddy up that pool too much.
Sure.
At least he's plugged in and he's able to do something. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Let me clean up these calls here, and then I'll get to Jeff. Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
John.
Oh, hang on 1 second. I hear the music in my ear. That means I've got to take a break. And my apologies to the affiliates down there if it gave you a little stir here on a Friday afternoon. You did notice I skipped the breaks while we had Bob Barr on. At any rate, hang on, Mike. Dylan, John, and Bob will get to your calls, and Jeff in a minute.
True. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net. We'll be right back.
back. Sorry about that, folks. A little late getting back behind the microphone. Had to take care of some personal business. At any rate, Dylan, you're up.
Howdy, John. You're doing a great job today. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and it's a Friday, too.
Yeah, that clip with the some current administration proponent in opposition to Bob Barr on that clip, he kept harping on the fact that attributing 9/11 to foreign powers, and this is something that a lot of people have overlooked. When it comes down to authority, who has what authority, it's not even a question of authority, it's a question of procedure. And I think a lot of the hosts on RBN talk about questions of authority, and some of them are trying to talk about also that sometimes it's not even questions of authority, it's questions of procedure. And we have established procedures for establishing crime scenes,
right,
and evidence, and how the evidence will be examined and protected.
And procedure under normal circumstances, under positive law, procedure, yeah, it's most important. But these guys are changing the rules, so procedure's got nothing to do with it.
And that's something that a lot of people don't realize. A lot of people would expect for a proper investigation of 911 to have been conducted, and they just watch TV all day, and the TV talks as if one was conducted. And so, again, I say the TV is one of the major arms of Satan we have out there. And I thought Bob Barr was pretty sharp to maintain kind of a mainstream rhetoric while maintaining true to the Constitution and combating that guy simply on the fact that the Constitution is sacred.
Well, and, you know, it's funny you should mention that, because during the break, I was just talking to my webmaster, Danny, here, and I said, you know, I said that Barr is important. Because here's a liaison, he's in the private sector now, but here's a guy that can pick up the telephone and talk to any Congress critter up in D.C. And it's important to have that liaison or that voice up there. And you're right, that somebody that's saying, wait a minute, you know, this is just not just a piece of paper here. This is the law of the land. That
yeah.
is most important.
Well, have a great day, John. I want you to carry on, and God bless you.
Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate it. John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Hey, what's going on, partner?
Hi.
I wonder, well, I know the answer. All of a sudden, we have this rush to war with Iran, and this has got to be some kind of a trumped-up deal, this breaking of these nuclear seals or whatever.
Right.
The financial consultant or establishment guy, Robert Chapman, he tells all about this Iranian oil bourse that's going to open in March, I believe it is. And what it is they're going to demand euros for their oil instead of their dollars, which is going to severely undermine the reserve status of our currency.
Yes.
And this is what this is all about. It's not about any broken seals. It's not about any nuclear violation. It's this currency thing. It's the same thing that got Saddam Hussein in trouble when he started wanting to sell his oil for euros
that's
instead
right.
of dollars.
That's right. That is part of that. It's a many faceted, many headed beast. But that's
I don't think so. I think it's this one issue is the most important issue. Everything else is just dross. It's just filler. It's just propaganda.
I have a tendency to disagree with you on that, John. You bring up a good point, and that's a major part of it, but that's not the whole ball of wax.
That is essentially what it is, and the thing is that we're really at the mercy of these people. They've designed our currency system
yeah.
where China can pull the rug out from underneath of us at any time.
At any given time. Hey, thanks for your call. We're out of time in this segment. Bob, hang on in Colorado. We'll get to you next. 50-50, listeners, International Shortwave. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.